I'd like to turn your attention this morning to Acts chapter 11. And I'll look at a handful of verses this morning. Acts chapter 11, and we will look at verses 19 through 30. I actually want to draw out 8 principles for church planting from this passage. So instead of the usual 3 points in a poem, I'd like to trade the poem in for 5 additional points. So I'll do 8 principles from Acts chapter 11. Verses 19 through 30. I'm actually going to read from the English Standard Version, if you would follow along as I read. Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse number 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Would you pray with me? Our Father, this morning we come to you with hearts that are ready to receive the word of the Lord. Our Father, I pray that this morning that you would have a message that each person here is ready to receive. Perhaps, Father, it's the message of the gospel which will now reach prepared ground in their heart. We pray that that seed would spring forth and bring life, and we would see a conversion even this morning. Father, we pray for those who are, as we sang, dead and cold to holy things. Lord, we pray that perhaps through the preaching of your word, the faithful preaching of Pastor Stikes, and now perhaps, Father, you might use the word of your servants to cause an awakening in the hearts of your people. We pray that that would happen. Lord, those who are challenged in serving you, who are being driven and challenged to give their lives to you, I pray, Father, that they would be ready to cede themselves, their will entirely to you. Father, in short, we ask that you use me to proclaim the word of the Lord, but nothing I say would hinder the message. I pray, Father, that it goes forth, that you would be at work in each and every heart here this morning. I pray for Bible Baptist Church. I pray, Father, as we are conducting services ourselves, that we would see fruit raised up in that ministry, in the ministry of all the other missionaries as they are conducted. So, our Father, be with us over these next few moments, and we ask that you would work mightily, mightily as your word is brought forth. In Jesus' name, amen. In a very recent article out of Christianity Today, there was this article entitled, Go and Plant Churches of All Peoples. And there were several interesting points out of that article in Christianity Today. A couple of them that stood out to me were, one, that church plant and church planting was labeled the cutting edge of evangelism. That is, if you're going to do ministry and you're going to be in the work of evangelism, church planting is the cutting edge. It has sort of that glamour that it was given. And another item that it mentioned was that churches, established churches, seem to be losing their passion for evangelism. And I think there might be a sort of truth in each one of those. But one of the concerns I had there was this presentation of church planting as the cutting edge of ministry. We are not doing this because it's a fad. We are not involved in the work of evangelism and sharing the gospel with people, building a church so that people can come and be fed the word of God because it's a fad. We're not doing it for that reason. What we have is something that has been going on since the New Testament times. And we find an example of that in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. Now, as I mentioned, I want to highlight eight principles, and I will be very brief with each one. But I think there are some truths that we can draw out as we see a church plant unfold before our very eyes here in this passage. So, I think what we see here in short, let me give you this little flow chart of sorts. In short, in summary, what we have in Acts 11, 19 through 30 is this. We have individuals who are going and evangelizing. We see converts come to faith. We see a church planted. We see them being equipped. And then we see them being sent out. So that's what we have happening. Individuals, evangelism, church plant, equipping and sending. And so what it becomes is this cycle. Can you see that cycle where new believers come and they grow and they're sent out and it happens all over again over here and over there and all over the place? It becomes a very incredible cycle of ministry. And that's what we see happening. Now, let's take a look here at what is going on in Acts chapter 11. Let's look at verse number 19. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. Now, Antioch was a very prominent city, as we're going to see here in just a moment. Antioch was a very prominent city, and in the first century, it became sort of one of the most prominent cities in all of the Roman Empire. And so what you have happening over a matter of time in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, is that the momentum shifts from the church in Jerusalem to the church at Antioch. And I think we'll see that unfolding as we go through the book of Acts. It doesn't come onto the scene until about this period of time. But it does develop into a place of prominence. It begins as a church that begins because of persecution and witness, and it ends up being essential to the spread of Christianity and to the preservation of orthodoxy. It's an incredible development that you see in the church at Antioch. Now, let's take a look at some of these. The first principle here is that church planting is a commitment to the gospel. Church planting is a commitment to the gospel. And I think we see that in verses 11, or rather 19 and 20. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. So tell me, what was happening as you make that observation from the text? It's very clear. Persecution was happening. And who in particular was mentioned? Did you see that? Stephen. So if you jump back a couple of chapters, Acts chapter 7, verse number 60, and falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. The first Christian martyr of the church, Stephen. Now, in chapter 8, we begin to see that there was this man named Saul, and that he wreaked havoc in the church. And these believers were being persecuted, so much so that now this dispersion begins. So here you have all these Jews in Jerusalem, and they begin to scatter. They begin to leave for fear of their life. Now, we could see them as one of two things. One, we can see them as people who were fearful, and they ran. And they didn't stand fast for their faith. But I think in God's providence, they were taking the seed and sowing it to other parts of the world. You see that in Acts chapter 8, verse number 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They were the ones who went out providentially, certainly for fear of their lives, and can you blame them? But providentially, they went out delivering the word of the Lord. So we see this church that comes from Jerusalem, and they begin to go up to other places. Antioch is about 300 miles from Jerusalem. Remember, they didn't have light rail, they didn't have trains, they didn't have cars, they didn't have any of that. 300 miles from Jerusalem. And here they end up in Antioch. So I think church planting is a commitment to the gospel because as they went sowing the seed of the gospel. The very thing that caused them their persecution where they were at is what they were proclaiming. Does that strike you at all? Does that make you think of how much of an impact the gospel had on each one of their lives? The gospel became more important to them than life itself. So much so that they left because they were persecuted for the gospel, and yet all they do as they go is talk about it. An amazing change that had been taken in their life. I think we see certainly that there were some problems. These believers were not perfect. Because did you see in verse number 19 that these Jews who were going spoke to the word to no one except Jews? They certainly were not perfect. In other words, these Jews sort of had their idea that only Jews should be given this word. So they were not perfect. But they went faithful to the gospel. And I think the first principle that we see here is that church planting is a commitment to the gospel. One church planter said it this way, a commitment to the gospel means a commitment to church planting. I appreciate how that's stated. Number two, church planting is a commitment to evangelism. Look at verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Now, you have had a phenomenal theme throughout this missions conference. Prayer, a dependence on the Lord. What a phenomenal theme to have for a missions conference. And what do you see playing out here in the life of these believers who are running for their lives and at the same time sowing the seed of the gospel? The hand of the Lord was upon them. To these believers, it was nearly inconceivable for them not to share their faith. And they went. And why did they accomplish such incredible things? The answer, I think, is found there in verse 21. The hand of the Lord was with them. Now let's think about that for a moment. If Bethany Bible Church is going to engage in the task of mission, you have a good number of people here that can do incredible things for the Lord. But if you're going to accomplish it, if you depend on your abilities, your talents, your resources, if you depend on anything other than the hand of the Lord being upon this ministry, it will be wasted energy, wasted money. This is so vital to the work of the Lord and to church planting and to mission and to sowing the seed of the gospel. If we want to do it in our own energy, it will fail. Verse 21 gives us the key insight to effective ministry, and the hand of the Lord was with them. That was a secret to their success. And so they went out evangelizing. They went out sharing the gospel. Ultimately, it was the hand of the Lord that was upon them that required their to bless their efforts. So, church planting is a commitment to the gospel. It's a commitment to evangelism. It's also a commitment of churches. Number three, it's a commitment of churches. Look at verses 22 through 26. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. You remember them? This is where these believers are coming from. And by the way, let me make an observation here. We will see in the text, and I believe it's in Acts chapter 8, that the apostles remained in Jerusalem. Okay, big deal. just a fact, right? Who was it that was going sharing the gospel? People just like you and me. In other words, we could say, let the professionals do this. Let those people who are trained and who are the professionals, and we pay them after all to do this thing, don't we? We see in the text that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And so it was people like you and me that went out and shared our faith with people. And that's who you see building these churches. God can use each and every person here who is ready to give themselves to the Lord. First century Christianity, one went in with eyes wide open. They knew exactly what they were getting into. It wasn't hidden behind a shell of if you come to Christ, your self-esteem will be all right. If you come to Christ, all your needs will be met. You'll never be sick again. Instead, Jesus Christ said, if any man comes after me, let him take up his cross. These believers were ready to do that. And they were people just like you and me who went out sharing their faith while the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. So, the church at Jerusalem hears this. And what do they do? And when they saw the grace of God, and when they hear these things, verse 23, they send this man named Barnabas, who went and encouraged them, and he shared the scriptures with them, and they grew. What we see is that the activity at Antioch was phenomenal. They see converts coming left and right, and now these converts are brought in, and they're being equipped for ministry. Now, it's very interesting who was brought along. It was Barnabas, who we find in Acts 4:36, to be also identified as the son of encouragement. Is it any surprise that this church would have Barnabas come to be with them? The son of encouragement. Here you have people who had left their homes, perhaps left families, are 300 miles away from where they grew up, 300 miles away from the land they loved. Is it any wonder that they would need the encouragement of another church in the man Barnabas? So he goes and he ministers to them. And I think the church of Jerusalem took it upon themselves to be a ministry and a help to this church. And I think we get a principle there of other churches coming alongside missionaries and other churches to accomplish the work of the ministry. We can never be so focused to forget that God is working all over the world, and perhaps in far greater ways than he is working here. And not just here in Hendersonville, but in Otsego, Minnesota, or wherever it may be. That God is working all over the world, and we must never lose sight to be such a tunnel vision kind of people that only things are happening here. The church in Jerusalem saw a need, and they sent Barnabas. I'd imagine Barnabas and the kind of ministry that he had there was doing something very vital at the church of Jerusalem. The church sacrificed by sending this man Barnabas. But the church in Jerusalem saw that. And I think church planting is a commitment of churches. Number four, church planting is a commitment to equipping the saints. Another way of saying that is its commitment to discipleship. Look at verses 23 and 24. And we saw the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them. He encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. This church was committed to discipleship. And I think church planting is a commitment to equipping the saints. And so here he was, preparing them, teaching them, equipping them, so that eventually we'll see later that they would be sent out. So church planting is a commitment to equip the saints. Now, let's continue. Number five, church planting is a commitment to the exposition of the Word of God. Look at verses 25. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. Right? So what's happening now? This church at Antioch is continuing to gain momentum, so much so that now Barnabas, who had come up from Jerusalem, could no longer handle the load of equipping all these folks. So what does he do? He goes to find this man named Paul, who would be proclaiming the scriptures with them. What a group, right? I mean, you have Barnabas, you have Paul. What an incredible group of people that you had there preaching and teaching the word. But now, let's a little bit between the lines here. Who was doing all the teaching? Who was doing the preaching while Barnabas was gone? It's not as if he could just email Paul and say, Paul, come on up here, and he'll be there in 2 or 3 days. Who was doing the teaching? Who was continuing the ministry? All this discipleship, all this equipping, I think, began to play itself out in this church. While Barnabas was gone, the church continued. And I think that's what the kind of thing that we need to see in church planting is, that the church planter releases the reins very quickly and that he begins to let other people own the ministry. And it should be true in all of our churches, where it's not only the pastor and his assistant or the church planter doing everything in that ministry, but rather it's the people engaging and owning the ministry. Church planting is a commitment of churches, number three. Number four is church planting is a commitment to equipping the saints. And number five, church planting is a commitment to the exposition of the Word of God. Number six, church planting is a commitment to Christ-likeness. Look at that little phrase at the end of verse 26. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. It was in Antioch that this happened. It was very clear who was Lord of their life. Christos was in every conversation. Christos was their prototype in their persecution. Christos was a prototype for how they lived. And so much did they speak and act like Christ that they were called little Christs or Christians. That was happening in Antioch. Now, we have some challenges to live as godly people in this culture, don't we? And we do. We have filth all around us, readily accessible on the push of a button, and as much as our sinful heart can take, we can have. There is no doubt that it is difficult to live a godly life in this culture. But let's face it. How much more difficult would it be in this day and age, in the first century, where people were after your life, to live as a Christian? You have this church father, very early, Ignatius of Antioch. He was born about AD 30 or 35, and he was sent to Rome in 107 AD. To celebrate a military victory as an elderly man. He wasn't part of the celebration. He would be the object of celebration. As the Romans won wars and had military victories, they would celebrate with this type of entertainment by bringing Christians in to be killed before them as a way of sport, as a way of entertainment. And so now Ignatius would go to be a part of this military victory for Rome. It is very likely that he knew and in fact succeeded the apostles in Antioch. And as he faces martyrdom, he said this, "Now I begin to be a disciple. Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, dismemberment, Let them come upon me so long as I attain Jesus Christ. And here is the desire in his martyrdom. And he said this, so that I may not only be called a Christian, but also behave as such. Is it any wonder that this church at Antioch was called these little Christ, these Christians? And I think church planting is a commitment to be like our Savior. To be a church, a true New Testament church, means to be Christians, little Christ, living holy lives before a world, living changed lives before a sinful world. Number 7, church planting is a commitment to the Christian community. We find this in verse 27 through 30. And in those days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea, and they did so, sending it by the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now, very quick reading, right? What's the big deal? What's going on there? So here comes a prophet from Jerusalem, and he says there are going to be some very difficult times in Jerusalem. In fact, he warns of a famine to come. And now this infant church, very young church, who has just been established, that are seeing phenomenal growth, now they're ready to give back to those churches. So here was a church in Jerusalem. They give Barnabas so that they might be encouraged and edified and brought up in their faith. And now they hear of a need in Jerusalem and are not thinking, you know, we're just a little itty-bitty church. We just started. People should be giving and giving and giving to us so that we can get established. Instead, they are ready to say, now let us contribute back to our Christian brothers and sisters. And I want our church, our new church, to be ready to be doing those kind of things. Not always willing to take, but ready to give. And I think that ought to be the mindset of our churches as we bring them up, as we raise them up, that they don't always take and take and take from the Christian community, that they're ready to contribute back as they see needs, as they see opportunities to support more missionaries, as they see the opportunity to give towards church planting, that we be engaged in those things. Church planting is a commitment to the Christian community. And finally, number 8, church planting is a commitment to church planting and spreading the gospel. I want to turn your attention here to Acts chapter 13 now. Here's where we begin to see the prominence of Antioch. Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers at the church at Antioch. Prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. You see them functioning as a more mature body now? Their readiness to send others from their ministry, to me, is the way we ought to be functioning as churches. Another way of saying that is that a church is not known by the number they keep, but rather by the number they send out. So here you have, who was it that they sent out? Barnabas and Saul. Who was it that was there to really ground this church? Barnabas and Saul. And now they take these two men who were so important to their development, but now they move on and they send them off. They commission them for the work of ministry. And what kind of work did these men do? I mean, the apostles' church planting and mission endeavor is legendary. I mean, it's phenomenal. And he went out from the church at Antioch. A little church that began because people were persecuted. And to avoid that persecution, they went away, providentially sowing the seed of the gospel. And here you have this little church. And now it becomes the sending church for Barnabas and Saul. Church planting is a commitment to church planting and spreading the gospel. May we never plant churches so that we can build little kingdoms in a community. May it be so that we can be simply a springboard from which other ministries grow, from which other ministries are sent out, from which other people are equipped and brought to faith so that they can in turn be sent out. I think that has some implications for ministry. That if a church plant is to be a church planting church, it takes the word of God seriously. Because these young men, these young ladies, wherever you may be in life, they may be the ones. These folks may be the ones that are going to be your church planters, your future pastor, your missionaries that come out from this church. And they must be grounded in the deep truths of God, not some shallow type of discipleship. Church planting is a commitment to church planting and to spreading the gospel. So, in summary, here's what we've surveyed really this morning. Church planting is a commitment to the gospel. It's a commitment to evangelism. Number three, it's a commitment of churches. Number four, it's a commitment to equipping the saints. Number five, it's a commitment to the exposition of the Word of God. Number six is a commitment to Christ-likeness. Number seven, it's a commitment to the Christian community. And number eight, it's a commitment to church planting and spreading the gospel. Let me close with this. We began to meet as a new church on October 1st, 2006. That's when we launched our services. About a month after that, I received a call from another pastor in the area. And he said, "Are you interested in leasing a building?" And we began our ministry in Vandenberg Middle School, as so many new churches do. And we received a call from him asking if we wanted to lease the building. After prayer, much discussion, and thinking through the logistics of it, it made sense. And so on December 3rd, we met for the first time in the little space in which we meet now, about 3,200 square feet. In fact, this was another way that God provided. The church dissolved, and so all of the assets of the church remained. So we walked into a building that was fully furnished, ready to use for ministry. But as wonderful as this story is about God's provision, it serves as a very startling reminder to me, and one that I always want to keep before me, which is this, that we, just as this church that we had spoken to can be a church that has come and gone. Apart from the hand of the Lord being upon us, we could be calling another new church and saying, "We're closing our doors." This wonderful church can have the very same thing happen to it if the hand of the Lord is not upon you. And so, by God's grace, let us depend on Him for the growth. Let us depend on Him to prosper our ministry. Believe it or not, I read your missions policy. I hope you have too. And how might the Lord use Bethany Bible Church to continue its outreach here in Hendersonville and the surrounding area? In your missions policy, which was updated, it seems like 2005, very recently, the philosophy of missions section, letter C, states this: we should be looking to plant other churches of like faith and practice in Western North Carolina, as well as supporting mission works in other parts of the world. What a phenomenal statement. Now, Bethany Bible Church, are you committed to that? Is there risk in that? Yes, immense risk. But is there a God who is great, who will provide and do incredible things for you as you engage in this task of planting new churches, supporting missionaries here at home and abroad? Yes. It's about touching lives and seeing lives changed. And by God's grace, may Bible Baptist Church of Otsego, Minnesota, become a church planting church. And may, by God's grace, Bethany Bible Church live out its mission to plant other churches and support missionaries abroad. You're well on your way. And may, by God's grace, we do these things for His honor and His glory. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we ask that Your word would work in our hearts. Father, indeed, we see the pattern of church planting all throughout the book of Acts. And I pray, Father, that as Brother Manny is doing in the Philippines, as Brother Waters is doing in Australia, as we are attempting to do in Minnesota, and an innumerable and perhaps unknown and unnamed company of believers are doing that in all sorts of places and countries. So, our Father, we pray, give us the grace to be this kind of people. Not to admire others who are doing it, to be doing it ourselves. Just as the church at Antioch did. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.